John Francis is author of The Ragged Edge of Silence, Finding Peace in a Noisy World. To cut right to the chase, you did not speak for 17 years?
That's correct. Not a word.
Why?
Well, you know, I took a vow of silence after seeing an oil spill, and because I argued with everyone, and I actually wanted to learn how to listen.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Because I saw the thing about the oil spill, and I could see, you know, that's something that meant a lot to you, and you were very upset about it. I mean, what oil spill are we talking about?
Well, this one happened in 1971 in San Francisco. It's a small spill, about 500,000 gallons of oil, but, you know, big enough to make me feel like I needed to do something. So I gave up riding in motorized vehicles, which lasted for 22 years. And in the little town I lived in, people argued with me about whether one person could make a difference. So on my birthday, I decided that, hey, you know, I'm just going to not speak for one day. And that day, I learned that I hadn't been really listening to people. And I decided, well, I'll stretch that to another day. And I just started learning more and more, and I decided I'd do it a year. And the years lasted until 17 years later, there I am.
Isn't that something? What did you learn?
Well, the thing I learned was about, you know, that it really takes two people to have an argument. You know, that's obvious. But I learned about environment and how we are all part of the environment. And since we're all part of the environment, the way we treat each other is, I guess, our first opportunity to treat the environment in a positive way or even understand about what sustainability is. So it really helped me see myself and the environment and people around me to understand we're all part of each other.
Hmm. It's interesting to me. I ask you what you learned, and you are talking about the environment, which is a very important issue to you. And it does remind me of an odd way, or not if it's an odd way, it reminds me of nuns or monks or, you know, religious who take a vow of silence because they're focusing on what's important to them. You know, their idea of God or spirituality or whatever. Is that, I mean, you get that drift? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, silence, and I'm writing in the book, The Ragged Edge of Silence, is it's used in a lot of different traditions and a lot of religions, and for example, in Native American tradition as a purification, of a rite of purification, going through a period of silence. And of course, in many religions, it's a place where you can find God. Or find that center that is the power center for yourself. It's used in lots of different ways, yeah.
Mm. You also walked for 22 years. I'm not sure why that's different. You must have been talking for some of the years you walked.
Yeah, well, I started walking across the United States after I had walked up the West Coast, and it took me 7 years to walk across the United States. And while I did, I went to school and studied environmental studies and got my PhD at University of Wisconsin and continued walking until I reached the East Coast. And on the 20th anniversary of Earth Day, I started speaking again. And that's because after studying environment and walking so much, I had gotten to that place where I realized that we were all part of the environment, and I had a message, and that's what it was, what I just told you about. You know, it's how we treat each other is our first opportunity to treat the environment in any sustainable way or even discover what that is.
Let me see if I get this right. John Francis, again, joins us. His book is called The Ragged Edge of Silence, Silent for 17 Years. It was during those 17 years that you studied for your doctorate?
Yes, that's correct.
Didn't you have to do a dissertation?
I taught, too. I even had a class when I was at the University of Montana. I taught silently.
How'd you do that?
Soon to be a major motion picture.
Yeah. Well, Well, I mean, they had to agree to this. I mean, you had so you would write, I would presume. Is that what you would do?
Well, you know, I wrote some, but and I guess in university we write a lot. But I would use mime and gestures to act things out. My students would kind of gather around and say, you know, what's he saying? What's he saying? Oh, I think he's talking about clear-cutting. No, 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 that couldn't be clear-cutting. He's using a handsaw. And so, you know, it was, I'm having a conversation and leading a discussion group. So that's how that worked.
Now, when you were in the 17-year silent period, come on now, you know, late at night, you're all by yourself, didn't you? I mean, did you talk to yourself? Would you speak out loud when you were alone?
Well, you know, what do we call this? When you have to tell the truth about this. There were about 5 occasions when I spoke accidentally, and I wrote them all down in my book because I wanted to be something. If you said, well, did you not speak, did you not say a word? And I had to say, well, actually I did. Once was, I was watching television, and I saw Charlton Heston stretch his arms out, and the Red Sea parted, and I said, oh my God, oh, did I say that? I did.
Now, why did
there are other times, but they're in the book.
Why did you go back to talking?
Well, that's because I had finished my PhD. I'd studied environment all the way up to that level, informally and formally, and I had a message, and the message was that, you know, we're all part of the environment. I didn't hear that being spoken about or in the literature, so that's what I started speaking about. That's my big message when I talk about environment or anything, is that how we treat each other is really how we treat the environment, because it's going to manifest in the physical environment around us. So it's about human rights, civil rights, economic equity, gender equality, all the ways we relate to one another.
Wow.
Very important.
Now, how did you, for these 17 years of not talking, or maybe even the 22 years of walking, how did you support yourself financially?
Well, I had a banjo and a hat.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh.
Yeah.
But that's...
No, that's true. I mean, laughing is good. You know, I had a banjo and a hat, and I did write. I published magazine articles. I painted, and so I had watercolors that supported me. And when I went to school, I usually went on a fellowship. I mean, I did work study. I took out loans, and then I started getting fellowships and scholarships. And, you know, I wasn't averse to working, Bob.
Oh, I understand. And, in fact, I would think that since you're really doing this, that this might have been, you were like a rock star as a graduate student or something.
I was looked at as... you know that guy that doesn't talk? You know, he's teaching. We have a class with the guy. He doesn't talk. He's our teacher. And, you know, I could see everyone looking at their schedules to see how they could get out of that class. 2 weeks later, they're all telling me that, you know, listen, everybody wants to get in our class, but let's not let them get in because, you know, we have this great class here.
Well, one of the reasons I'm probably so enamored of what you've done is I do teach, or I've taught part-time over the years, and the rap on me is, I mean, I just talk too much. You know, I should adopt this, do this style of teaching.
Let the students talk. And what I discovered is that if I did what I was doing, I was actually learning a lot more than I would have if I was just kind of putting it out there, so to speak.
You know, this is a good idea, John. I think if I ever do teach again, I'll at least have a day where I'll say, I'm not going to talk, because that's the problem. They never talk. They never ask a question. They, you know, they basically doze through the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, this engaged everyone. It really did. And, the good thing is now I'm going to be teaching at Wisconsin for a year as a visiting professor. Back at the school where I went to get my PhD, I'll be there next year, or this year actually, in the fall, to teach environmental studies. So I'm going to use that. I won't talk for a day.
Very good. Well, John Francis, I got to go. You got to go. It's a great story. And his book is called The Ragged Edge of Silence, Finding Peace in a Noisy World. John Francis, thank you, and you have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care.